again tonight. We say thank you for everyone that was here tonight. Such a blessing always to be able to get to speak and proclaim Jesus as our Christ, and to be able to get up and talk about Him freely, and to see the care and the love that everyone has that's in our congregation. It's just an awesome feeling. This morning we talked about being that light, and the thing that brought that in to is wanting to be a better person, wanting to be a better Christian. And then you think about all of the things. So I talk to a lot of people all the time, and I ask, what is the reason that you don't talk about Christ like you do? What's the reason? Why don't we say it? What is our deal? And it's fear, and it's from the fear of being rejected is all it is, really. It's just us fearing being rejected from someone else. So, or us hurting someone else's feelings by saying, Christ did this for you, and He did this for me. What's so hard about that? What's so difficult about it? And it all comes down to fear of being rejected or hurting someone's feelings is what it's came down to from the start. And so we learned at an early time in our lives. So when you was all babies, some of us that was a little bit before other ones, and some of us, we got little babies back here right now. So it ranges across the board for us. But when you was a baby and you got up for the first time to learn to walk, and I thought about this because my wife was walking when she was 6 months old. I mean, just running, going all over the place, just going all crazy. She won't walk across the street right now for me, but she could walk when she was 6 months old, which is awesome. You know, she jumped up and was able to run. You learn from that early age to get up, and you start walking, and you fall down. What happens when you fall down? You get right back up. You work your way back up. You figure out how to get up. So you have this instinct to get back up when you fall down. Well, you're going to fall down in life. You're going to fall down. You're going to hurt. Not to say to hurt yourself. You're going to fall down. You're going to do things that are not proper. You do things that are off. But that's called mistakes. That's called things that we do wrong. If you never try something, you're never going to fail. If you never attempt something, you can't fail at it, can you? Because you didn't attempt it. So for us to have that fear, you don't know what's going to take place if you don't say it and act it and finish your action. So this morning we talked about being that light. So Christ said, don't leave that lamp there. You leave it on so that you can see the whole room, so that everybody can see. If we turn the lights out in and shut the curtains, we're not going to be able to see anything. I would hope that I'd be able to quote everything that I need to quote for y'all without looking at it. What we have is this opportunity and this comfort that Jesus gives us of saying, I'm going to be your parent that picks you back up. So you mamas out there, mostly when your kid falls down, you reach and grab them and you pick them back up to nurture them. The dads go, get back up. You're all right, boy. You can get up. Do it yourself. This is what Jesus does for us. He has that hand out there, and He's taking us in, and He's helping us up all the times when we get down. And you'll understand that more and more as we go through this lesson today. You're going to fail at something in your life if you try to do something. God instilled this at an early age to us, and we understand that God is with us to help us up whenever we fall short. Whatever your purpose, whatever's going on in your life, God's always there for us. What happened was, for us to understand this, we have Scripture, and we're able to read Scripture. So this is what I love about the Bible. We can go back through it, and you can find stuff that happened and go, well, that happened to these guys, that happened here, that happened here. What we fear is nothing compared to what they felt, that they had to fear from where they was at. So the early Christians, they got knocked down a bunch. But this is the thing that they had. They had the integrity and the understanding of what God did for them, and they was willing to go through with whatever consequences, whatever fear they faced, to make sure that people knew about it. So from them to be able to do that, we're able to be up here today to understand this. So if we wouldn't have had them to do that for us, we wouldn't even have this knowledge. So it's awesome to have this and to go back and be able to look at it and see it. So I didn't have time to print out a sheet for anybody, so if y'all brought a pencil, pen, there's one in front of you there, and you can use one of those cards, write down scriptures if you want to, if it goes too fast for you. I hope everybody can stay up. But Acts 14, chapter 22 is where it starts at, and it says, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. You're thankful for those early Christians that went through all those hardships. So we have this comfort, and we have that ability to be able to be there. Now go back to Acts chapter 5 in verse 12. In verse 12 through 16, the apostles are performing miracles, and they're out, and they're showing themselves, and many people, many men and women, are following suit to them. So they're coming into Christianity with them. They're seeing what they have as a good thing. That light that we was talking about this morning, it's shining for them. So they're seeing this, these people, and they're coming in, and they're becoming Christians. They're like, oh, they're even bringing people in on bed mats so that they can touch Peter's, just barely touch him or be close enough to him that the shadow is over them so that they can be healed. They want this. They're looking for something. They want something that's better for themselves. So they're doing this. Well, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they're mad. They're getting upset about it because these guys are coming in here and they're proclaiming this, and these people are following them instead of us in the old way. We got to do something. So they become furious. They're mad. They're upset. And they go get them. And then this is where we're beginning at. And this is where the apostles are at. So if you go down to chapter 17, then the high priest, this is in chapter 5, verse 17. Then the high priest and all of his associates who were members of the party of the Sadducees were filled with jealousy. Y'all see what they're filled with is jealousy. So they're upset because they're getting more attention than they are. They're filled with jealousy, and they arrested the apostles and put them into public jail. So the first thing that happens to them is they're out proclaiming God's word. They're proclaiming that Christ is our living Savior. He came and he lived and he died and he was sacrificed for us. They're proclaiming this and letting everybody know it. They throw them in jail for that. So they get thrown in jail. Well, here in verse 19, during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Go stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people the full message of this new life. At daybreak, they entered the temple courts as they had been told and began to teach the people. They was in jail before that. So we'll start off with just going to jail. It's not a cool place to be. It's not something grand like the people get nowadays where everything is you get color television and you get dental work for free and you get this for free and you can get all your medication. It's not like that anymore where you get three square meals. This was bad for them. They're thrown into prison. They was out proclaiming Christ, thrown in prison. All right, we're going to skip down to verse 27. They come back and they get them and they take them in again. And they're because they was outside doing what? Preaching and teaching the good news. They was outside showing. Verse 27. Having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. We gave you strict orders to teach not to teach in his name, he said. Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. So they're back out and they're teaching the good news, right? And then here we go. They're telling them, we told you not to do that, but you're out there doing it anyway. I want you to listen to the defense, because if you go on trial, you're going to get defended. Whatever it is, if you're the one that's on trial, you're going to be defended. And this is their defense. This is what they say. Peter and the other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than men. What was their defense? We must obey God. So that's not men. We don't obey what man says, what you say to us. We're going to obey what God says. The angel said, you go out, we're going to open these doors up, you go out and preach the good news. They knew what the consequences was jail again for them. At the least, that's what the consequences was. But they was ready to go out there and went to go do it. So he says, we can't obey you, but only what God says. Go down to verse 40, and we'll start in verse 40 there. They called the apostles in, and they had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin, rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, They never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. These guys were beaten and flogged. I mean, it wasn't something that was a grand thing for you to get done to. But it said they was happy. They wasn't happy that they got beat. They was happy to be counted worthy of suffering for Christ. That's showing your light to be shining right there is what that is. Day after day, in public and at people's houses, they never stopped preaching and teaching that Christ is Jesus, that Jesus is the Christ. He was the sacrifice that was once for all. So we all understand that, and we're all so grateful for that, and we think, wow, that was pretty awesome right there. If you go to the next couple chapters down to chapter 7, Acts chapter 7, there's this young man named Stephen. And Stephen was a man that was full of faith, wisdom, and knowledge. And he understood Christ. He was full of the Holy Spirit, it said. And he would inspire others by his way he was. And he was teaching and showing. And if you go down to verse 51, where they got him on trial, and it's down to the end, and he's like, oh, y'all just won't listen. And you just kind of wish you would be there at the trial so that you could hear him say this to him. Because you're just so stubborn and hard-headed. I want to grab you and just choke you because you won't listen to me. Grab their ears and pull them out and say, listen to me. This is what I want to say to you. Verse 51 in chapter 7, he says, you stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears. You are just like your fathers. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your fathers did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one, and now you have betrayed and even murdered him, they said. You who have received the law that was put into effect through angels, but have not obeyed it. They was going through what they thought was correct, what they wanted to be correct, and they didn't want to gather the right information. They didn't want this to be what was right. They wanted to keep doing what they was doing. He said, y'all got to pay attention and you got to listen. Well, this didn't do nothing but make them mad. They was furious. That fueled their fire, and they had anger and they had vengeance in their heart right then. Down here in 54, when they heard this, they were furious and they gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. That'd be awesome for us if we get to see that. I mean, you just hope someday that you get to see that before you're gone. That's awesome and amazing. At this, they covered their ears, yelling at the top of their voices, and they rushed at him. They dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and he cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he fell asleep. And Saul was there giving approval to the death. The same Saul is the Apostle Paul later on. They stoned him with the Apostle Paul, which would come later, which was Saul watching and giving his approval. But did y'all catch what Stephen said at the very end there? He said, receive my spirit and don't hold this sin against them. Why did he say that? These people were stoning him and he just told them, why don't you listen, pay attention? Because his last thing that he wanted was them to repent, because that's what Jesus wanted, the last thing. You got the opportunity, repent. He's giving it to him. He said, you have it. It's right here for you. Don't hold this against them, because they still got an opportunity. With his last breath, that's what he gave out to them. That's tough to do right there. These guys went through a lot. They was going through more than we can even fathom. We can't imagine that. In Acts 8, if you go down to Acts 8, verse 1 through 3, on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women and put them in prison. The same guy that was there saying, "Hey, you guys did great stoning Stephen. We're going to get the rest of them," and this is what he's doing. This is where he's going into it. Verse 4. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. What? They're killing us. They're killing our people. They're killing Christians. But the ones that were scattered were doing what? Preaching the gospel. That's letting their light shine. They was doing what they were supposed to do. Because Jesus did this for us, we're going to let people know about it. Because this is a good thing. This is not something that's bad. This is great. In that same chapter, in chapter 8, Philip, he helped an Ethiopian eunuch that didn't understand God's word. He came up beside him because that's what he was told to do. He went up and he said, "Hey, what you're reading, this is Jesus. That's what that's talking about." He was reading in Isaiah. And he said, "So what does that mean?" And he tells him what it means. And he goes, "Whoa, that's awesome." And he says, "Look, there's water. So we're going to stop. What's to stop us from being baptized right now? Let's do it right now. There's no better time than right now." And they stopped and he baptized him into the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And which, that's what we're supposed to do. We get down to chapter 9 and we understand that this same man named Saul, he gets blinded on the road going to Damascus. And he's like, "Hey, what's, I don't understand this." Well, he did understand it. He saw the light, and once he saw the light, he became baptized into Christ also. And then, instantly after that, he began preaching and teaching the good news. He was going throughout doing what he was supposed to do. Let's go to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, and let's go to verse 47. Acts 13 and verse 47. "For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." This is what we talked about this morning. You guys, myself, we are that light so that we're able to spread the good news throughout where? The earth, anywhere, everywhere you're at. So where you're at, your homes, wherever you're at, if you're on the road, on your doorpost, you're supposed to proclaim that Jesus is good. He's our Lord, He's our Savior, and we give Him all the credit, all the glory for what He's done for us. I'm going to go all the way to the end of Acts in chapter 28, and then we're going to go backwards again. All the way at the end, chapter 28, verse 30 and 31. "For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him." Verse 31, "Boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ." This Paul was Saul before, which was taking people, having them stoned, imprisoning them, beating them with straps, not just little beatings, some blood's coming out of you, you're getting beat so much. You're going to have whelps on your back from the beatings that you get. He understands this. Paul understands this is what he has to look forward to. He was the one that was doing it. He was saying, "If you keep preaching this Jesus, I'm going to beat you. I'm going to take you to prison and we're going to strap you. And if you don't like that, we'll take you out of the city and stone you to death. You may spend the rest of your life there." He understood this as much as anybody. So, understanding this and knowing this, let's go back to chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. And see what he has to go through. See some of the stuff that takes place. Acts chapter 14, verse 19. We'll read through probably 22. "Then some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over. They stoned Paul and dragged him outside of the city, thinking that he was dead. But after the disciples had gathered around him, he got up and went back into the city. The next day, he and Barnabas left for Derbe. They preached the good news in that city and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith, We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said. You remember the first scripture that we read? We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. The Apostle Paul said that after being stoned. What? He was stoned and left for dead. He said, we're going to have to go through a little bit. So it's going to be a tough deal, but we're going to go through this and we're going to fight through this because Christ loves us. And this is what we're going to do for him. What did he do? Strengthen. Encourage. Always, that's what he was doing. Strengthening, encouraging. Acts chapter 16, verse 22. Acts 16 and verse 22. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. That means your clothes taken off if you didn't have your clothes on. I don't know if any of y'all ever got whipped in school when that coach told you to pull your britches down and get you a whooping. You knew you was getting one. Being stripped means they had nothing on, cover themselves. And they was whipped and they was beaten. And they did bleed. It wasn't something that was fun. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the center in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Upon getting beaten severely and then stuck in the inner part of the cell, strapped to the floor, is what they was. They were shackled to the floor where they couldn't move, and they was singing hymns to God and preaching, praying, look, this, our God loves us. No matter what you do to us, you're not going to bring us down. We understand that. We know that that's difficult for us to understand and say, man, that would have been tough for us to do. That would be tough here. And where are we at? Fearing that someone might reject us or someone might not like us for loving God? Man, what these guys had to go through. Turn back to Luke chapter 12. Now, I know a lot of y'all like the book of Luke because Luke describes stuff a lot different than some of the others. And the scriptures are very, it seems like they're very easy for me to understand. Luke chapter 12, verse 4, and we'll read verse 4 through 7. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who after killing the body has power to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. For sure, he's letting the disciples know, you better fear God. You better fear God, because God is the one who is going to give you the judgment to say you're entering my kingdom of heaven or you're entering the kingdom of hell. There's two places that you get to go, and you will be judged. No matter what anyone thinks, you will be judged. And I do know that there's a lot of people in the world that has no idea that that is correct and that that is true, that they have not been told that. And we think, oh, everybody should know that. That's common sense. It's not to a lot of people. A lot of people don't know that. So, responsibility? Yeah, I got a responsibility to let them know that, for sure. And I want people to know that, because by no means do I want anyone to suffer that. The wrath of hell. It's not going to be good for anyone. Go back to chapter 6 and let's look at verse 40. And we'll understand this a little bit. A student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. Who is our teacher? Our teacher is Christ. We're all students of Christ. So we should strive to be more like Christ, correct? That's absolutely correct. That's the only way that we should be able to look at that. We should strive to be more like Christ. Romans chapter 2, verse 6. And I like Scripture, and I'm going to look through Scripture and read Scripture. Charles is right in his prayer. I can want to tell you everything that I want to tell you, but it's not right if we don't have Scripture to back it up. And Scripture's going to be there to back up everything that we talk about. Romans chapter 2 and verse 6. God will give to each person according to what he has done. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. That's the Christian, is what that is. The one that followed Christ. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. That's the ones that don't want to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and they say, I'm going to do what I want to do because it's a lot more fun for me to do that right now while we're here on earth. Who cares about this afterlife that you talk about? This doesn't make a difference. You're going to care about it. They will care about it. There will come a time, and it's going to be suffer or have this greatness, this glory, this goodness. So the thing about it is, you get to choose. You get to make the choice. I don't get to choose for you. You get to choose for you. You get to make that choice for yourself. If you get to go to heaven or if you get to go to hell. All you got to do is follow his footsteps and do what you're told to do. We have all the instructions. We just got to jump in there and we got to do it. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9 is going to be our next scripture. And we're going to be down in verse 27 and 28. Hebrews 29, verse 27. Just as man is destined to die once, and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. So once you become into Christ, you don't have sin in you no more because Christ is sinless. He doesn't have sin in him. You don't have that no more. You might sin. You might make mistakes, but you don't have it in you no more because you are Christ-like. You got to follow his way and his will. That doesn't mean you can do anything you want to any day you want to because I've been baptized into Christ. No, you still have to follow what you're supposed to do. You have to follow these footsteps. We have to. And we have to understand that. We can't run from that. But you have this ability, you have this great God that gave us this earthly life and then afterlife of salvation and eternity. He gives us this. He says, this is what you got to do. I mean, and it's pretty self-explanatory to me. The ones who truly follow Christ will be given a new home of peace and rest. The rest will die a second death. And the second death is death eternally. So death eternally means what to y'all? It's painful. It's the gnashing of teeth that he talked about. It's destruction. It's no good. And it's everlasting. So it just keeps rotating and rotating and rotating. It goes over and over and over. It never stops. But you can have peace and rest. Well, I get so tired sometimes. You work all the time. You work 15 hours a day, 16 hours a day. You get wore out. You get tired. That rest sounds awesome. It sounds great. That's what we strive for, that rest. And we want that peace and the understanding that it's good. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Matthew 7 and verse 13. We use this all the time. Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. I know we're not full in here, are we, guys? We're not full in here. Only a few will find that gate. So be thankful that you are the few that's going to find that gate, whoever you are. Now, I know that we have lots of numbers in our life of people that you want to make sure that they understand this. Hey, this is a hard road. This ain't an easy road to take. Do you think that that road was easy for the apostles to take? That the steps that they had to go through in order for us to be here today to talk about this was easy for them? There's no way that that was easy for them, because you know that they was thinking, man, this is going to hurt today, boy. Whoo, it's going to be tough. What we fix and go through is going to be rough for us. But they went through it so that we have this opportunity. So we understand that only a few are going to make it down that road to get to go to heaven. So it's not everybody's not going, because we was told that everybody's not going to, because you have your own decisions. You get to make your own minds up. It's our choice. We get that. Turn to John chapter 14. And we're going to finish up with John chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verse 1. Boy, I told y'all this morning, man, there is some scripture in the book of John that makes you go, whoa, man, I love Jesus. And he's told us right here, and it's about as simple as you can get to understand, to want to follow him. Excuse me. Verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. This is Jesus. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it weren't so, I would have told you, I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I am going to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me to that place also, where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. This place that he is going is this everlasting hope that we have. This place of peace, this place of rest that he's talking about. So Jesus gave us this comfort in knowing that we have this home with him. And he said to us right here, I'm coming back for you. You know where it's at, and you know what I'm talking about, and I will come back for you. So we have that hope, and we have that desire, and we have that understanding, and we have the knowledge to absorb it in, to understand that this is what we have. If you go down to verse 6 there, he answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. How? Just like those two young ladies did this morning, through baptism, through understanding that Jesus Christ lived on this earth, he died on this earth, and he was buried and resurrected and came back to life to say, hey, I'm giving y'all freedom. I'm giving y'all freedom from this sin, the stuff that takes y'all down, that drags you away. And I'm going to give you this place called eternity, that you're able to come and spend and have this rest and this greatness. You're going to be able to have this with me. So what you got to do is follow me. So don't let your hearts be troubled. When those things happen to us, when we start getting dragged down, that's what he says. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't worry. I got you. Because what? I'm picking you back up when you fall short. So, you know, for you guys, y'all understand that. Some of y'all are a lot taller than I am. Being short, I'm going to tell y'all right now, is a blessing, because when I fall, it doesn't hurt as bad when I hit the ground, because I'm closer to it than you guys that are tall. So it's no fair for y'all, is it? See? I've got something over on you. No. God doesn't care if you're short, if you're tall, if you're big, if you're ugly, if you're pretty. He don't care. What God wants is you to love him. That's all that matters. And you follow him, and then he gives us this eternity, this never-ending love and this never-ending care. But don't forget about those that might not know it. Because you have this, and you understand it, and you're following suit with it. So you want this for others. So you know that there is that. And they know it. Hey, it's going to come a time. And, you know, there's so many of them that you've talked to so many times, and you say, I just can't understand why you can't see that. What part of it do you not understand? And it puts you back to Stephen when he says, you stiff-necked No listening suckers. You won't understand. You won't listen. You won't do nothing. It's a desire that people have to do what they want to do. We understand it. We know it. We live it and we follow it. And then that gives someone else the opportunity to say, you know, maybe what they got ain't so bad after all. Some people are just a little more hard-headed than others, and it takes them a little bit longer than it does someone else. Think about that throughout this week, throughout your lives, whatever we can do to help anyone else in our lives, in the way that we conduct ourselves, in the way we are. We look back to what the apostles did to show others that Christ Jesus came and died, and we go, well, maybe it's not that difficult for me. If these guys were able to go through that and be punished in the way that they was, maybe I can do something. Kind of like Sterling being able to get up and lead us in singing. I told y'all this morning, you couldn't have paid me $1 million at age 15, 16, 17 to get up and lead singing in a congregation, to get up and lead the Lord's Prayer, to get up and do communion. There's no way. But these guys are special because they're leaders, and that's what we all have to be as leaders. We follow Jesus Christ, and we live our lives by examples of Jesus Christ, and then those that see that will follow suit with that. If anybody needs anything, if anybody doesn't know Jesus in that way, if you just need prayers, thoughts, please come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.